George, let's get started. Is it possible to pin down the exact point in time when you became consciously aware that you could make people laugh?
Well, it would be over a period of my childhood. Pinpoint would be hard to do. But I would say my mother, when I was young, when I was still before the age of six, my mother worked in an office, and she taught me this thing called the Big Apple, which was a dance craze of the late 30s. And you put your finger up in the air and you kind of, like, you know, dance a little. And she taught me to do that. And when I would go to her office to visit her, when she would bring me there and the other girls would be sitting around, she would coax me and have me do the Big Apple. And I think that even at that early age, and I was probably three or four then, I noticed that this process of doing something for people pleased them, and you gained some feeling of approval from it. Now that grew into doing little imitations that I could do that my mother taught me, again, of people I never saw. She taught me to say, come up and see me sometime, like Mae West, but I had never seen Mae West, nor did I know anything about her. I imitated what my mother showed me. Then I learned a little later to imitate Johnny the Philip Morris midget, singing, call for Philip Morris. And these were just about my A material of the time. That was my first show. And then I, on my own, as I grew up through the rest of my, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, learned that I could do things that gained approval, attention, applause, approbation. All these A's that I never got in school, I got by acting out for people.
How long after that do you figure you decided or made a conscious decision that you wanted to do it for a living?
Well, I can pinpoint one thing, which means it came before this date. This was in fifth grade. When we had to, now fifth grade, I was 11 years old. We had to write an autobiography. Naturally, fifth grade, I think, is a good time to look back over one's life and sum up. So we wrote these little autobiographies. And the last page, we were supposed to tell what we thought our futures would be like or what we wanted them to be like. And I said on mine that I wanted to be either an actor, impersonator, announcer, comedian, or trumpet player. And it was clear from that to me that I wanted attention, that I wanted to stand in front of people and do something that gained their approval.
You say it was clear to you, you feel that you understood even at that time?
Yes. I understood at that time, or I wouldn't have used all five things like that. I would have thrown in boxer or policeman.
You became consciously aware. You say, hey, I think I need attention.
Yes, I think I like this process. I don't know how much of... I know needing attention was part of it because my father was not present in the home. My mother was not there because she worked all day. Children don't interpret that as in reasonable terms. They say, hey, nobody's here. What's going on? What's wrong with me? So I learned that I could gain people's attention and approval. It's necessary that you take that step, the next step, because you can get people's attention by throwing yourself through a window, too. But I found that I could have them say, oh, isn't he cute? Isn't he clever? Clever was the word my aunt always used. He's so clever. Well, I found out later clever is what they call criminals and things. But clever has that. Or the lady who used to take care of me when I was real young called me cunning. He's cunning. And again, that's a word with a negative aspect to it. But they used it positively, and I was aware at that age. See, that I was 11 then. I know that at 10 years of age, I saw Danny Kaye in movies and wanted to be like Danny Kaye. I said, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to be in the movies. I'm going to be making people laugh. I'm going to be using my voice the way he does.
Beside the example of Danny Kaye, were there any other events in your early life that you feel helped to shape your approach to comedy?
Well, no, I don't think so. I think at that time it was still a question of comedy becoming paramount to me. The radio comedians. I grew up at the tail end of the golden age of radio and before the beginning of the golden age of television, right on the cusp. And for me, the radio comedians I listened to them, you know, every one of them who had a show, when they didn't compete with one another, I listened to them.